Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast, October Spooktacular.
Oh my gosh. You're out of control.
Isn't this thing amazing, people? There are 15 buttons on this little noisemaker. You're going to hear them all this month.
Oh my God.
What's shocking to me is how long the sound effects go. I only hit it once.
It's a really long time.
It was like 10 seconds.
Yes.
Inappropriate.
Yes. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. How are you? I'm Jamie Hill. Did I say that?
You did.
Cool. Yeah. Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. You know what? We're home. We're done with everything, finally. Like, remember, like, back in June when we're like, okay, we're leaving the house. We have a lot of things to do. We finished the last one of those things this weekend.
We finished all the things.
We'll get there.
Yes.
I'd like to welcome our new listeners. This is probably the last week in which someone might have picked up a Misfit Stars postcard at our table at a show. If you did that and you're listening right now, thank you. Hi, how are you? It's so nice to see you.
What's up?
What's happening, new friends? And I'd like to thank our new supporters. And you too, dear listener, could become a new supporter.
Why on earth would they do that?
Well, because they like us and they want to support what we're doing in a small little way each month.
And this is a member-supported podcast.
Yeah, and we make it a member-supported podcast specifically and precisely so that we can give people another little opportunity to support what we're doing in the world. And you can specifically support this podcast, and that's cool. You just go to misfitstars.com/join and you sign up. Basically, here's the deal. Do you have $5 a month that you would like us to have so that we can take those $5 into the world and do $5 worth of good with them? If so, go to misfitstars.com/join. We'll be very grateful for that.
And if you do that, you will become one of our stars, uh-huh. Which, awesome. Mm-hmm. Bragging points right there for you.
Corny and earnest? Hell yeah, that's our brand. That's on brand.
If you do that, you will be invited to join our private Facebook group, in which all of our stars exist online together and they have conversations with each other and they post fun things about their lives or they post stuff about what's going on in their worlds, and they're encouraging each other and responding to the things we've talked about on the podcast and having further discussions. And it's really cool and you should become part of that.
Yeah, it's totally true. It's what you might call in modern parlance a safe space. If you're the kind of person who thinks that kind of space sounds really nice, the idea of a safe space for good conversation sounds good and healthy and good, and that's great, do that. If you're the kind of person who thinks that safe space is something that only snowflakes say, you got to get your shit together, man. Seriously, reorient your worldview. Safe spaces are good.
What else? If you're enjoying this podcast, what else can you do to support?
You tell them. Okay. You're just trying to lead me. You just do it.
I am, but it's in your part of the script. So I was just trying to be, I was just trying to stick to the script.
Shannon's a stick to the scripter.
Well, yeah. That's why you have a freaking script. Thank you very much.
Right.
So if you are enjoying this podcast and you, whether you're a member or you're not, we would love for you to do us a favor. Go to wherever you listen to the podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, and leave us a rate and review. Rate the podcast. Give us 5 stars.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Don't go and leave us a 1-star review. That would be terrible. Don't do that.
Imagine if somebody were listening to this podcast every week, giving us like an hour of their time every week listening, and then was like, yeah, this podcast is only a 1-star.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being that kind of...
They have stolen 50 hours of my time that I will never get back. I'm furious. If I could give them 0 stars, I would do it.
When's the next episode coming out? So, anyway, it will help us. This podcast is mainly listened to, we believe, by people who know us, who maybe have met us at a house concert, who know us from the music that we make, who know us from the work that we do with other artists.
And here's the thing. But if you're listening to this, you know us at least a little bit.
Yes.
We're real open on here.
It's so true.
You genuinely do.
You do. But the way that the rating system helps us is that if we get good ratings and good reviews, then Apple Podcasts or the other podcast services will promote Misfit Stars to other people in their feeds. And who knows, we might attract some new people outside of our circle.
You know, when you're in your podcast app and your podcast app says, based on what you listen to, you might enjoy, and then it shows you like 3 things.
Exactly.
We could be one of those things for someone else.
You could help us be one of those things for someone else by leaving us a 5-star review.
That's right.
Rate and review. Thank you very much.
Rate and review. That's a good little chant, Shan. Do you know that Shan used to be a cheerleader?
I was a cheerleader.
Coming in handy.
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Give me an R.
We're not going to spell out right in review. No, that's not happening right now. Although, can I tell you a side story about the cheerleading?
Yeah.
This is just it's a total rabbit trail here, but we're going to go down it for
Let's do it, yep.
So I was a cheerleader in high school, my sophomore and junior years
of high
school.
She still has her outfit, you know, people, it's real cute.
It's in a box somewhere.
I have seen her in it.
I barely fit into it anymore. Anyway, I was a cheerleader. My sophomore year was my first year as a cheerleader, right? And there was, you know, always the big game was homecoming, of course. You know, that's when, you know, all the alumni came back for the game and there was the homecoming court and
that's
been
what
all
homecoming
these
means. It's the alumni coming back. That's why they call it that?
Yes. Oh. That's what they called it.
We didn't have football in my high school, so we didn't have homecoming. So I don't.
So
I literally, I didn't know it was a literal thing, like alumni returning home.
So sad. Yes.
Me learning the etymology of homecoming at age 47 on the pod. Cool. Carry on.
Learn new things every day. So anyway, it was a big game, most well attended game of the season. You know, all the fun things happening around homecoming festivities, and the JV team for which my sophomore cheerleading squad, JV cheerleading squad cheered, happened right before the main event, the varsity game of the night, right?
Like, and of course,
on Friday nights.
JV and varsity cheerleading squads. Why wouldn't there be?
Exactly.
I'm learning so much right now.
You
keep,
are.
Keep
so
going.
Learning. So JV squad and the game happened right before the main event. And usually for the JV games, it was very sparsely attended. Nobody really showed up for those games unless they were like the parent of the players, you know? And so most of the time when we were cheering for JV football, it was just a, you know, smattering of people in the stands. Well, on homecoming night, not the case, because those stands were going to fill up. There was going to be standing room only. So people got there early to get their seats for the main event. And so during the JV game that night, it was packed.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Absolutely packed to the gills.
So exciting.
It was so exciting. It was such a thrill to get to cheer in front of, you know, an actual crowd of people.
Yeah, not just your mom again.
And so, exactly. And so we had a squad of, I think, 8 girls. And I was selected at one point during the game that night to do the Lincoln spell out, which is where you do the give me an L, give me an I.
It's called a spell out.
And you do the thing and the crowd, you know, like answers you. So give me an L, L, give me an I.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lincoln High School was my school. I continue on with the Lincoln spell out. Give me an N, N. Give me a C, C. Give me an O. Oh, give me an N.
Oh,
N.
No.
I left out a letter. I left out a letter. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
In front of the hugest crowd of the year.
And in my dream scenario of this, you would have gone, what is that spell? And they would have gone, Lincoln. That's probably not how it went down.
So sad. Anyway, that was my aside I needed to share with you.
I love it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, were you mortified?
I was pretty mortified.
Yeah.
I don't remember how soon afterward I realized it or if someone called it my attention to it after the game. I don't remember. But there
I love
you go.
It. I love misspelling a spell out. That's the best.
In front of the biggest crowd of the year.
That's right.
Go
What's
me.
That spell? Technically nothing.
Totally. So after that digression, so after the break in our podcast today, we got way off base here.
That was great.
After the break.
The digressions are always the best part.
They really are. That seems like a metaphor for life. After the break, we have a listener topic. Speaking of listener topics, if you are a supporting member of our podcast, you get to chime in with your potential listener topics in our Facebook group or on email.
You're the only people who get to do that.
Yeah.
Supporting members.
And so
MisfitStars.com/join.
This is another reason to become a member.
That
there's something that you want to hear us talk about.
Yeah.
Also, supporting members, we could use some more listener topics. Jamie, will you remember to put this in the group later?
Yeah,
to
probably.
Ask for more listener topics.
Maybe I give it 50-50. Maybe
okay,
I will. Maybe
try
I won't.
Try to remember that. Yeah. So we need more listeners, but we have a listener topic that we're going to tackle today from our star Terry on the top tools from 12-step programs that we wish normies had at their disposal. Normies in quotes, of course, because this is the phrase that people in 12-step recovery use to talk about people who don't need 12-step recovery.
Yeah, just normal humans. Yeah. I like to think that I'm one of the top tools from 12-step programs.
Oh, my God. There are days I agree with you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You're not wrong. She's not wrong, people.
P.S. I think most people could benefit from a 12-step program.
Seriously.
Even though I said that people who don't need it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's coming up after the break. But before the break.
Before the break, yeah. So what did we do this week?
What did we do?
We had a jam-packed week, people. We had a month that got compressed into about 4 days.
It was wild.
It was. The sort of centerpiece of this is that you and I took a 36-hour round trip from SeaTac Airport to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
We flew 2,500 miles, 2,300 miles, twice.
Yeah.
In a 36-hour period.
Yeah.
We left Thursday morning. Our flight took off at 9:55 a.m. Mm-hmm. And we got back at 9:20 p.m. the following day. Less than 36-hour round trip.
And why did we do this wild and crazy thing? Well, because...
Poor decision-making capabilities.
No. We did this because some people who are a community that is very dear to us asked us to come.
Yeah.
And this community of people is a around a group called MedUp, mm-hmm. which is a direct action advocacy organization for metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah.
Founded by a dear, dear friend of ours, Beth Caldwell.
Yeah.
And Beth passed away because of metastatic breast cancer. It'll be almost 2 years. She died on All Souls Day in 2017. But before that, a couple of years before that, she founded this group because when she received her diagnosis, she learned all kinds of stuff about breast cancer that she'd never known before.
Yeah.
And being the total badass, fight for what's right and don't stand for things that are unjust in the world, she realized that so many of those things that she learned were completely unjust.
Yeah.
And so she stood up to say, this isn't right. We need to fix these things that are wrong. And so she started this direct action advocacy group. Remember in the 80s, during the AIDS epidemic, there was a group called ACT UP that did direct action advocacy.
I am indeed old enough to remember this.
Protests, in-your-face protest, kind of like really raising their voices in a loud, obnoxious way to get the attention required to deal with this epidemic that was taking the lives of so many people.
Being squeaky wheels, getting grease.
Exactly. That is the model that they modeled MedUp after. And if you look around now, in the 80s and, you know, in the early 90s, getting an HIV diagnosis was a terminal diagnosis.
It was a death sentence.
It was a death sentence. Nowadays, fast forward.
My uncle, by the way, died of AIDS.
Right.
In 1996.
There were not treatments available to save his life at that point. But today, the story is completely different. An HIV diagnosis, while a serious diagnosis, is no longer a life sentence. There are treatments now that exist that don't necessarily cure the disease, but that turn a terminal diagnosis or a terminal illness into a chronic illness.
Yeah, you take one or two pills a day and you just manage it and you live with it until you die naturally of old age.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was the goal of our friend Beth when she started MedUp. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but we went to DC because MedUp, this is the fifth year that they have staged a die-in on the Capitol lawn on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. In 2015, when they were going to be doing their die-in, Beth asked me if I had a song in my catalog of recordings that they could use as sort of like a fight song for their die-in, you know, something to rah-rah rally the troops, you know, as they were doing their protest.
Yeah.
And I told her, I don't think I have anything that really fits the bill, so why don't we just create a new song for MedUp and for this event.
My memory of this is that, like, so we met Beth at a house concert. That would have been at Katie Rose's house concert. What's up, Katie?
She's one of our stars.
Yes, she is. And that would have been in the Seattle area. And so that means it would have been in early July, mm-hmm. probably, which means that because they had their die-in happening in, like, October. Late September, early October, we would have had to, you would have had to write that song and I would have had to produce it in our little home break that we had between legs of tour. Because what we used to do is do the sort of northwesty loop and then go back. We touched base, didn't we, and do it then?
No.
When did we do this? Do you remember?
We got home from tour earlier that year. And I did it as soon as we got home and yeah.
Oh, okay.
But,
okay.
You know, anyway. It's a detail that doesn't matter anyway. But the point is that we wrote a song.
Yeah.
For
Shannon wrote a song.
I wrote a song.
I produced it. Shannon wrote it. I didn't write it.
But I interviewed Beth about her experience living with metastatic breast cancer. And what is it? What was it that she wanted to say? What was it that her message? You know, what is it that this die-in represents? And so, using Beth's thoughts and her her message, her ideas, that's where the lyrics for this song came from. And the song became. It's called "The Day That They Hear That." "The Day That They Hear Us."
It's an anthem. Shannon did such a good job.
It's an anthem. So they've been playing it. They've been playing the recording of it for the last number of years at the die-in each year. And this year, the new president of MedUp, Susan, asked us if we would come and do a live performance of it for the die-in. So that's why we flew to Washington, D.C. for 36 hours.
Yeah.
We flew there, got there the evening of my birthday last week.
Went out to a romantic birthday dinner.
We did have a romantic birthday dinner and then walked around the Capitol Mall at night, which was actually very pretty.
It was a perfect night, too. Beautiful out.
And then the next morning, we marched on down to the... right in front of the steps of the Capitol. I mean, yeah, right there.
Right on the Capitol lawn.
And we set up to do the song. The protesters marched with their banner, and they all lined up. They all held signs for in memory of people who have been taken by metastatic breast cancer. I say people because it's in a disease that affects both men and women, even
That's right.
though breast cancer tends to be seen as a women's disease. It is not solely a women's yeah. disease. And they lined up in these lines, and they laid down on the lawn in rows, and someone rang a bell 116 times to represent the number of people that die every day in the United States from this disease, mm-hmm. after which I then performed the song live. And for the people who were there, they remained lying down in protest during the song. And then they got up from their positions, and they continued walking to the other side of the Capitol lawn to lobby their lawmakers for more research funding
yeah.
for metastatic breast cancer. Super powerful.
Yeah.
Super powerful. So that's why we went to D.C.
Yep. To sing one song in solidarity with our Metzers.
That's right.
So, hey, let's hit our people with some statistics because I want to contextualize this for people.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
500,000 people worldwide die each year from metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah. You know, can I just ask you a question? Before
yes.
we knew Beth, mm-hmm. before we knew the cause of MedUp and all this stuff, like before we learned what we've learned about this disease, what was your impression of breast cancer before all that?
My impression of breast cancer was just like the mass media impression that you get if you don't know much about it. You know,
yeah.
that there's a month where you buy pink stuff. I used that when I was touring with a very macho artist back in 2009 to load our tour bus up with pink versions of everything. Every single thing you'd have on a tour bus, you can get it pink in October. and that's kind of all I knew about it. It's like you do pink. Pink is for awareness. And we're raising a lot of money and we're walking for a cure.
You get the idea that when you buy the pink stuff that helps contribute money to breast cancer.
That's right.
Funding for some, right? That's the idea
yeah,
we get.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
The idea I had in my mind was that every company does pink versions of their stuff, and when you buy it, they give all the money to breast cancer, which now, by the way, is cured.
Right. Right. And you get the idea. I had the impression that breast cancer had become one of those diseases that was like the good cancer,
yeah.
like, which is a stupid thing to say.
That's right.
But you know what I mean? Like, I had the mistaken impression that, oh, you know, this is just something that, you know, women get
yep.
and they may go through some like pretty awful treatment for, you know, several months. But after that, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know,
we got our arms around this.
And also like the idea of breast cancer, you know, I think part of what contributed to that idea that I had about it was that so much of the messaging around breast cancer seems to be really trivialized, you know, like with the buy things that are pink, with the pink feather boas and the campaigns that's like, you know,
save the tatas.
Exactly. Like it's sort of sexualized and trivialized.
At the same time.
Like it's cute. Like it's a cute thing, you know. And now that I understand that breast cancer is a killer still in a very profound way in our country, in the world, there's nothing cute about it. Like the idea that it would be cutified or sexualized or trivialized.
Save the tatas is wild to me because it implies that it's not even the human being that is carrying the tatas that we're trying to save. It's literally just their breasts.
Right.
We are focusing just on a woman's breasts.
Right.
Let's save those.
Right. Right.
What the fuck?
And the idea, so for those of you who have an understanding of cancer, you know, you can tune out for the next, you know, minute. But metastatic breast cancer is also referred to as stage 4 breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The word metastatic means that that even though the cancer originated in the breast, it has metastasized, meaning it has spread
to
other organs in the body. And for each patient and for each kind of cancer, that spread can be different. It can spread to the bones. It can spread to the lymph nodes. It can spread to the brain. It can spread to the liver. You know,
and also the first time you get a cancer diagnosis, it may already have metastasized. That's called a de novo
diagnosis.
And like that's what our friend Beth had.
Right.
Like the first time that anyone told her, you've got breast cancer, she also had it in her hip.
In her liver, I think.
Yeah, it had moved already all over the place.
Right. So she wasn't even diagnosed with it before it had metastasized.
Right.
So metastatic breast cancer, there's nothing cute about it. And it's not about saving breasts, right? Like, because once it's spread to other organs of the body, that's when it becomes fatal.
Yeah.
Like it becomes, you know, when you've got cancer in your brain, that eventually is going to, at this point in time, because there is not treatment to prolong your life, it's going to take your life.
Yeah.
So there's nothing cute about it. There's nothing sexualized about it. It is a killer, a cold-blooded killer.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any of this. So continue with your statistics.
Yeah,
you were saying 500 people worldwide.
Half a million people get killed by this each year worldwide. 40,000 people a year in the USA alone. That breaks down to 116 people per day. It's 40,000 something, you know,
yeah.
If you divide them out, that math doesn't work. But it's 116 people per day die in the United States of America from metastatic breast cancer. And that works out to about 4 people an hour. So just in the time we've been talking, 2 people have died of this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And by the time we're done this podcast, 2 more people will have died of this
right.
in our country.
This is not the feel-good, pink awareness stuff that we're made to believe about it. It's very real. The median survival from diagnosis, from the time you were diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, the median survival time period is 2 to 3 years.
And you know, saying survival time kind of makes it sound positive. Another way to say this is that you're going to be dead in 2 to 3 years. The median survival time is 33 months, meaning that on average, well, on median, which is different from an average, but
mm-hmm,
point
right.
being, people, you know, all things being equal, are going to die in about 33 months from their diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So also, metastatic breast cancer has been on the rise for women under 40 for the last 30 years.
Yeah. And that median survival time hasn't changed in 20 years either, by the way.
Right, right. That's right. So like, even though there has supposed to have been research been done all this time,
yeah,
that median survival rate hasn't changed in 2 decades.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And like I said, this is a disease that's on the rise for women under 40. This is not an older woman's disease. It is a young woman's disease. It's a disease
Yeah.
It's not just a women's disease. It's a young person's disease.
Yeah. It's mostly a women's disease. That's mostly because of diagnoses. But
right.
men are in there too, and we do not want to erase men from this.
I'm really sorry for not catching my words. But
hey, we're doing the best we can.
But this is a young person's. This is a disease affecting people who have young kids. This is a disease.
Beth has kids in elementary school, 2 of them.
Right. So, you know, and that's been the case for the last 30 years that it's been on the rise for women under 40.
Yeah. Meaning that it's not getting better, it's getting worse.
Right.
Right? Like
right.
with all this pink washing that has been done around breast cancer, one would think that these numbers would be declining, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the median survival rate would have been improving over the last 20 years. It hasn't. It hasn't changed. That the incidence of metastatic breast cancer for women under 40 would have declined over the last 30 years. No, it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It has increased, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's an interesting statistic that kind of, I think, relates to all of that. As of 2014, which is the most recent set of statistics that we could find for this, which granted is 5 years old, only 7% of all breast cancer research funding goes to metastatic breast cancer.
Research,
which
right.
is the only kind that will kill you.
Metastatic breast cancer is the only kind of breast cancer that is 100% terminal.
Yep.
And that form of breast cancer only gets 7% of all breast cancer research funding.
One would think it would be closer to 100%.
Does that sound totally upside down to you?
Yeah.
Yes, it sounds completely upside down to me. And, you know, there was a statistic here. One other thing that that's about funding. Actually, before we say that, Susan Komen is one of the big breast cancer nonprofits out there, right? They spend only 19% of the money they raise in total on research, period.
Meaning that 81%, over four-fifths of the money they raise, goes to stuff that isn't the thing they're raising the money for. It's administrative costs. It's
nice
cars for their executives. Seriously, that's the stuff.
Yeah, granted, there's probably some of that that's used for other things that do benefit patients, mm-hmm. you know, but... you know, in terms of like, you know, benefiting patients that, you know, in terms of like comfort care, or I imagine I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
I imagine it's probably the case that some of that funding goes to actually helping patients in other ways. But it is a money machine. They generate a ton of money.
Now, to be fair, they just this week announced a new metastatic initiative.
Okay.
Like brand new this week. I follow our friend Kelly, mm-hmm. Dr. Kelly Shanahan. I follow her on Twitter and have been for a long time. And she was just tweeting a whole bunch of stuff into the timeline just over this last couple of days about this new initiative. And so that's encouraging.
It's a move in the right direction, yeah. right? Like this is the some of the stuff that, you know, that Beth wanted to... some of the actions that Beth wanted to achieve with her advocacy organization with MedUp, you know, hopefully this is the beginning of something, of things actually changing, the status quo changing.
Yeah. Feeling optimistic about it. Yeah. Here's hoping.
So the reason that we're talking about this today, obviously, is we spent a good chunk of our week last week flying to and from D.C. to do this protest. We also, as it happens, spent our Sunday afternoon at the Celebration of Life event for our friend Beth.
Yeah.
She passed away almost 2 years ago, but it had been a while since... It just took a little while to get the pieces together to actually do the Celebration of Life, which was so awesome.
That was great.
I mean, the reason for us being there was not awesome at all, but the gathering and the party itself was just completely in the spirit of who Beth was as a person, and it was really wonderful.
It was great. It was sort of spicy and informal and irreverent.
It was great.
It was really cool.
Lots of swear words.
Yeah.
And that was really great.
Yeah.
So, you know, October is the, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Which, by the way, we're aware.
I think we can all agree that we are all aware of breast cancer. You know, that's not something that we actually need to put our energy toward any longer.
You know what we need is Breast Cancer Fixing Month.
Yeah, right.
All we need now is to fix it.
Breast
We're
Cancer
all aware of it.
Elimination Month.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think it was important to us to spend a good chunk of time of our podcast today talking about this because, you know, before knowing Beth, I didn't know a darn thing about all of this stuff. She educated me about the status of what funding for metastatic breast cancer looks like and how absolutely unjust it is. And we hope to spread the word. So I think it's important to leave people with some ideas about things that they can do.
Yep.
First of all, I think just be aware of the notion that just buying pink stuff and wearing pink and doing pink breast cancery things,
Komen 5Ks, et cetera,
isn't the best use of your energy and money and time.
Nope.
You know, there are organizations, however, the good news is there are organizations who are doing real work to funnel more money toward a metastatic breast cancer research.
The preeminent one is MetaViver.
MetaViver is a group, and you'll find them, I believe it's just metaviver.org.
That's right.
Can you verify that for me?
Yep.
Metaviver.org. All of the money that they raise, all of the money that MetaViver raises goes directly to research for metastatic breast cancer.
That is the correct URL, by the way, metaviver.org.
So if you're looking for a place to donate in the name of somebody that you know who has had breast cancer, or who has it, or who has passed away because of it, Medivivor, it would be a great place to put your money.
Yeah.
And like I said, 100% of what they raise goes directly to fund research. And here's the thing. There are people doing research right now that's making progress. Like they're making progress in their research. There are promising new treatments on the horizon that are, but the progress of getting those research projects to fruition is stalled and stymied because of the lack of funding.
It's literally just a question of dollars. If they had more money, they could do more stuff. Period.
And more quickly.
Yep.
And we could save lives.
Yeah.
So Medivivor is a great way to place to put your money. Also, of course, MedUp would be a great place to put your money. MedUp.org is where you'll find them.
MetUp.org.
And they use their money to do direct action advocacy.
Also
work.
Lobbying.
And lobbying. So one of the things that the Medivivor and organized this conference in DC around which the MedUp die-in happened. They spent a few days training people who came to this conference to lobby their representatives. So when they came to the protest and then they continued on to the Senate offices and the House offices, they protested and then they went and sat in people's offices and demanded more funding for breast cancer research.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do is you can call your elected representatives in Washington and you can ask that they increase funding for metastatic cancer research at the NIH level.
Yes.
And also at the Department of Defense level. This is something that we learned over this last weekend that I had absolutely no idea about beforehand. Apparently, the DOD does a significant amount of funding into cancer research because military people have dramatically higher rates of cancer than non-military people.
It was astonishing to hear that the DOD does funding, but they do apparently a lot of it.
So a lot of it.
You can call your representatives and ask them to increase funding for metastatic breast cancer research at the NIH and at the DOD. So those are some things that you can do. And it would be awesome if you did them. We would appreciate it on behalf of the folks that we've gotten to know over the last few years, because of the song that we did for MedUp. We've made a lot of friends in the metastatic breast cancer community, and in honor of them, it would mean a lot to us if you're going to support breast cancer in October or year round in some way. Do it smart, and help the organizations that are actually funding the research to stop the only kind of it that will actually take your life.
That's right.
If you are unlucky enough to get a diagnosis of it.
Pink is not a cure, people.
That's right.
And stage four needs more.
That's right.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to our commercial break for metastatic breast cancer. Actually, it was not even a commercial break. It was the meat of what we're talking about. It's part of the...
Who are we kidding?
Yeah. So that was that kind of defined our week because we went to DC and then we had the celebration of life for our friend Beth. I loved the celebration of life day. It was, it was a stupid reason for us to have to be there. Like none of us liked the fact that we had to be there remembering a person who was gone. But Beth was just a really, just a badass, you know. She before she had to quit her job because of her diagnosis, she was a civil rights attorney.
Yeah,
and she took on causes that mattered to her. She was a person who, when she saw injustice in the world, and she saw that there was something she could do about it, she did it. Or if she figured out a way that she could do something about it, she did it. She didn't sit around.
No.
And I'm inspired by her as a human. I was lamenting as we were leaving the service that day, like, you know, not that anyone deserves to die, but like
some people do.
I'll go out
on a limb.
I'll
die on that hill.
Yeah, okay. You know, but like of all the humans that we had to lose, man, it's a big loss. She was such a bright light, funny, motivated, empowered, and her legacy is massive.
Yeah.
And And I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Absolutely.
But the other thing that happened this weekend, in the middle of...
those two things.
The DC trip and the celebration of life was our final house concert of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really wonderful. Nice. Yeah.
I sort of sighed because I was like, the several days that encompassed all those activities felt like a huge mountain to scale, and we scaled it.
Yeah, seriously. This was a heck of a week.
Yeah. Yeah. We are glad that it's all over. But our final house concert was wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want to talk about it? I've been chatting forever, so
oh, sure.
I thought that maybe you would want to jump in.
Sure. You know, I don't have a lot to say about it. It was good. I had a good time. It's done.
Okay, great.
Yeah. You know, it was really nice. It was with our friend Henning, who is one of those people who came into our world a couple years ago and since has been a very present part of it, which is really cool. I love when that happens. Mm-hmm. We see him a lot online, you know, like he's always just kind of there, you know, interacting with stuff that we're doing, talking with us, which is wonderful. He's become a good friend and super supportive of what we're up to, which is really cool. And we're super, super grateful for it. And we got to meet all those people. And it was a really nifty occasion for a concert. It was sort of a dual kind of thing. One, he and his wife, Michelle, have built themselves a new home right next, like on the same plot of land that their previous home was on. They're building it and they're going to demolish the other one. And it's very nearly done and it's beautiful. And I think it's just like one of these bucket list lifelong dreams for them. And they've done a beautiful job. It's quirky and imbued with their personality in really cool ways, which mm-hmm. I love. It's very clearly a labor of love and it's coming along great. So it was sort of a housewarming for that. And it was also, in part, a sort of celebration of life kind of memorial, not that formal, but it was to recognize Henning's stepfather, Chuck, who passed last year. And so that was cool. You know, people came with that intentionality in mind of both celebrating their new home and also celebrating Chuck. And
yeah.
It was cool.
It was lovely. It was a great night. There were... you know, as always at a house concert, there were a few people that I met that I'm like, I'm so glad I met you.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, you know, it was really neat to make new connections with the new community there. And I hope we get a chance to go back. I hear rumors.
Yeah.
Maybe we might get to.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome.
It was definitely good people though, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool because it was an entirely new group. There were only two people there who had ever seen what we do before, Henning. And then he invited our friend Lacey. Hi, Lacey.
Hi, Lacey.
Who was the person at whose concert Henning first met us.
Yes, and like 3 years ago.
Yeah, totally. And other than that, I mean, the other 32 people there were brand new to what we do. And, you know, in that kind of situation, you know, it's always sort of a, well, maybe they'll get what we do. Maybe they won't, you know. No harm, no foul. Maybe what we do just wouldn't be interesting or whatever to them. But, mm-hmm. like, it seemed to be a good fit.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good.
It's a very, very warm vibe. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So now we're... like, I realize we've been sort of home. We've been home for the last, like, couple weeks-ish. We've had shows, and we've had other things, and we had this trip. But I realized that when I woke up yesterday morning, that I realized, oh, my gosh, we're actually done.
Yeah, we're done.
Like, we're done. And it felt different. It felt like just a different kind of freedom. It was good.
Yeah.
It felt good.
No, it's cool. I'm glad that we had such a successful touring season. It really felt emotionally successful. It just really felt like everything was working like a well-oiled machine, you know? Everything mm-hmm. was pretty smooth and working pretty well, and the show was great. You wrote an amazing show, and
people
seemed to really uniformly take it on board in a really warm and cool way. And also, I'm super glad that it's done, and we get to, like, go on to new adventures and have a new season of things.
Totally.
I've got some records that I am about to start making that I'm super stoked on, mm-hmm. and I just want to do my thing for a bit. You know?
I bet you do.
Yeah.
I want to listen to you do your thing for a bit.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
But, you know, I'm eternally grateful for the fact that I get to do what I do for a living, that I get to, you know, make music and write stories and, you know, and perform those things for people as the way that I earn my living.
Yeah.
Like, I am so, so grateful for that. It's meaningful. It is fulfilling. It's wonderful. But also, I'm I am aware of the idea that that sometimes the need to create and perform for my living can feel like a lot of pressure sometimes. Yeah. You know, like it can feel like just some stress. And I'm glad that our work is seasonal in that way, because I really do need a season of regeneration.
Yeah.
You know, I need to kind of go underground for a little while. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to that starting. It's started already. It's
yeah.
Pretty great. So, so after the break, we're going to get into a listener topic.
Yeah.
From Terry about 12-step tools that have been helpful for us that might be helpful for normies, non-12-steppers as yeah. well, which is going to be a good conversation. Looking yeah. forward to it.
Same.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
All right. See you in a sec.
See you soon.
All right, people. So here's the deal. We
got long-winded.
Yeah, like so this first part that you've just heard took like, you know, 40 or whatever minutes, and that's cool. And we were like, oh, we have the second part about, you know, these with Terry's wonderful question about the top tools from 12-step programs and all that. We talked for an hour about that.
Yeah, it turns out there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's a great conversation, but it's so much of a conversation that if that plus what you already heard were in one podcast, it would be an hour and 40-minute podcast. That's too long.
We don't want to take up that much of your time.
Yeah.
You're already so sweet to give us what you did.
We want to make this doable for everybody, not overwhelming and like a problem in your life.
That's right. So what we've decided to do mm-hmm. is to air the second half of what we had planned for today's podcast next week.
Yeah.
So Terry's question about 12-step tools is going to happen as next week's podcast.
And we'll make that be an open one so everyone can hear it.
Absolutely.
Because this was going to be an open episode
yes.
too. So everyone, it'll be come one, come all.
Yes.
And yeah, it was a really, really cool conversation, I think. We're super stoked for you to listen to it. So now I just consider this a teaser, a little amuse-bouche.
Ooh.
A little
ooh.
Appetizer
yes.
For you to get all excited to hear this conversation. Next Wednesday.
Yes. So tune in next Wednesday for that. And until then, take good care of yourselves.
Yep. Love you guys.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.